Welcome to Adventures in Grace. This is Jim Hockaday, part two of the Unseen Realm. And of course, as I mentioned before, you know, we could go a really long time on this. In fact, I didn't get very far. I was just talking about a few scriptures. So we'll see how far we can get today. But I do look forward to this. Number one, I want you to know that God wants to come out of the pages of your Bible as you read about him so that you can experience him personally. We're actually going to be talking about some of this, and this is what Jesus was sharing with Nicodemus from John chapter 3. As God becomes tangible and real, it'll be so much easier for you to experience him and have answers to your prayers, number two. And number three is that you would be able to testify to the things that the Lord is doing in your life. Well, we always give Matthew 11, 27 to 30, our passage of scripture that we give every single time, because it is an invitation from Jesus for every single person to have the same kind of relationship that he had with the Father while he was on the earth. And you know, if that's the kind of relationship that we can have, and it produces the kind of results that Jesus had, then every single one of us should be excited about seeing greater tangible results in our life that definitely shows people all around us that Jesus is real. Well, verse 27 says, "And Jesus resumed talking to the people, but now tenderly. The Father has given me all these things to do and say." This is a unique Father and Son operation coming out of Father and Son intimacies and knowledge. "No one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does, but I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting upon you. Keep company with me and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly." How awesome is that? It's so good to experience the Lord, is it not? Well, yes, it is. And so I want to jump right back into John chapter 3. We'll read, because we didn't get very far. We'll start at verse 5 where we were. Jesus talking to Nicodemus. He'd already told him, "You must be born again." And Jesus then answered Nicodemus when Nicodemus says, "How can this be?" He said, "I say unto you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Isn't it interesting that Jesus made reference to the born again experience of the Spirit in the same passage as he would make reference to a born experience, a child being born into the world of the flesh? In other words, there's great similarities. So being born of the Spirit is where your spirit is made new and comes alive. Now, we're going to see this later in John chapter 14. Jesus tells us that when you come alive, you will experience with absoluteness that I am in the Father, you are in me, and I am in you. In other words, there's something for us to experience, and there's something in us that comes alive unto God. And this is what happens not after you've been through 20 or 30 classes. It's what happens immediately upon your new birth. And Jesus is trying to get this point across. He went on to say, "Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again." And of course, the idea that Nicodemus was marveling caused Jesus to say, no, this is a normal experience, Nicodemus. This is for everyone. You know what's difficult? You can see Nicodemus was struggling because his whole paradigm was needing to adjust and shift to the new covenant. And Jesus was preparing the way as our wonderful Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world for all men to be able to experience the Father just like Jesus did, for all men to be born again, not to be under the law, not continue under the legal system, but to continue life, move forward in the love and grace of God, where we can experience him every day. And he is tangible to us, where we have our Garden of Eden experience. I know your surroundings may not look like a Garden of Eden, but you can experience God in the way that Adam did. You can experience God in the way that Jesus did. And then, of course, you look at all those in the New Testament. You can experience God the way Peter, the way Paul did, the way John did. It's supposed to be that way. This is supposed to be very real, and this is supposed to be very, very normal. So Jesus said, "Don't marvel." It's supposed to be normal. And then he went on to say, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. Well, the wind's been blowing so hard here recently, it's actually coming from the west to the east. I know that really well because it wasn't long ago, I was actually out on the golf range just practicing my golf swing, and my ball was going from the right and to the left. Now, it wasn't because I was hitting them that way. There were a few that I actually did on purpose hit them that way. But it's because no matter how straight I hit it, the wind is blowing 25, 30 miles an hour. And it's gusting and it's real windy during the springtime here. Sometimes in the summer, it gets super windy as well, where it'll blow 30, 40 miles an hour. That's why, and during this time, we need a lot of rain out here in Colorado. Otherwise, you've got high danger of fires. So we know where the wind, I know where it's coming from. I could feel that today. Now I couldn't see it, but I could see what it was doing. So if you want to know if it's a windy day, what do? You go to the window, you look outside, and you look for something of this world that the wind, which you can't see, even though it is of this world, but you can't see it. You're looking for what the wind is moving. Now, if the trees are just barely moving, you'd say, is it a windy day? Is it windy out there? And someone would say, no, there's just a tiny little breeze. Don't worry, it's not going to affect anything. We're going to have an amazing day of golf. And then somebody that wants to go kite flying would say, is it a windy day? And if you saw the breeze really moving those leaves and the wind is kind of blowing, not too hard, but just right, you say, man, we are going to have the most amazing day flying our kites. But what if you didn't want it windy? And you looked out and you said, is it a windy day? And trees were bending almost halfway over 45 degree angle with the wind. You'd say, my goodness, stay inside. It is so windy. It looks like a storm's getting ready to come. And we lived in Tulsa, Oklahoma for some 30 years. And when the wind would start to blow and then it would start to twist and turn with a tornado, I mean, get out of town, right? Because it's so strong. I love how the Lord said in 2 Chronicles, he said that his eyes roam to and fro throughout the whole earth that he might show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts is loyal to him. Don't you love how he wants to show himself strong? Well, what happens when there's a strong wind? It moves more things. And if it's a real, real strong wind, it'll pick your house up and move it. It'll pick your car up and move it. It'll pick you up and move it. So there's nothing that God can't move out of your life with the wind of the Spirit. I'm telling you, he is moving today. The Spirit of God is blowing. We know in the upper room, the disciples were doing just what Jesus said. Go and tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you would be endued with power from on high. And suddenly, all of a sudden, there's a wind inside of that room. Maybe one of the disciples said, close the windows. And someone said, they are closed. Well, where did this wind come from? It was the Holy Spirit that blew in. Jesus is talking about the wind. He's relating it to the Spirit. That the Spirit of God, like the wind, you may not be able to always see him, but you can see what he's moving. And God, by his Spirit, is moving today and challenging people that they might open their hearts and embrace the idea that there's someone being healed right now in your stomach. And I'm telling you, no matter what your stomach problems were, upper GI, lower GI, your colon, no matter what it is, your indigestion that you've been dealing with, we stand against that by the power of God. And because Jesus, the Holy Ghost, and the Father wants you healed today, you are well, you are whole, and you are healed, and you'll tell us all about it. Jesus is healing people, even on this broadcast. Why? Because this verse of scripture is real. It'll come off your pages and get into your life. The wind blows where it wishes. You hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said, how can these things be? He's still in a place of awe because his mind has not yet moved from an old covenant that's bound by your own flesh and this earthly world over into a spiritual experience where you are now connected to God. And Nicodemus is going to question one question after the other. Jesus then answers him and said, are you the teacher of Israel and you do not know these things? Now, what does that tell us? That tells us Jesus expected even the teachers of Israel under the old covenant to understand the properties of the spiritual world and understand the unseen realm. and be able to put two and two together and very simply be able to comprehend what salvation or the born again experience was like. So how much more are we under this new covenant? Born again of the Spirit. God is our Father. Jesus is our elder brother and Savior. And the Holy Ghost lives within us to do what? To open up this whole world to us that we might experience this spiritual reality. I'm telling you, God is all around you right now. Heaven is all around you right now. Angels are with you right now. And demonic spirits fear that you would open your eyes to the realities of heaven. Amen, amen, amen. I'm telling you, religion has done a really good work on us. They always make anybody's experience that is spiritual special. Number one, because then it makes it easier to explain why you might not be having that experience. We've said this many times, but the idea is you're never going to be right until you're willing to be wrong. And as long as we just continue to spin everything in the church world so that no one can have experiences except the special people, we're not going to get out of this funk that we're in, where we're not walking in the Spirit like we ought to and experiencing the spiritual world with ease. You got to change the way you see things. And God wants to do that with us one step at a time. Well, Jesus said, you know, you're the teacher of Israel and you don't know these things. Then he went on to say this, most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen. Notice what he's saying right there. Jesus then reveals to Nicodemus, I'm seeing things, I'm experiencing things, and I'm testifying to things that are real. This isn't secondhand. This isn't about, you know, Elisha the prophet, and yet we'll look at Elisha the prophet in a little bit. It's not Elisha the prophet, it's me. I'm experiencing these things. I'm not talking to you about theology now. I'm not giving you my doctrine. I'm giving you my experience. What was Jesus saying this for? He was trying to convince somebody that was stuck in religion that you can have these experiences too. You know, people that are teachers and people that are more in the realm of always just studying and being content with knowledge, they get real uneasy about stuff that we're talking about. And the first thing, of course, that they're going to say is you better be careful now. You know, you get over there experiencing God, you could get devils. Well, you experience the spiritual world and there are devils in that world. But we're not talking about experiencing the spiritual world that's demonic. We're talking about experiencing the love of our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. If he's making these assertions here that Nicodemus should be understanding this, then so should we. And we shouldn't be afraid if we come in contact with some type of demonic power because we have authority over that. And besides, the more real God becomes to you, the easier it is for you to use your dominion and your authority. What some would have you to be mindful of is to be so afraid that you might have some negative experience or you might get off that the truth is, you never get on and you never have any experience at all. Everything that's in the Bible is for you to experience in your lifetime. Your experience with God, our Father, Jesus, and the Holy Ghost is not supposed to happen when you finally get to heaven. We sang about that in my church I grew up in. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that'll be. I'm rejoicing right now because Jesus is with me right here, right now. The Holy Ghost is bearing witness to the reality of God. In fact, there's somebody's throat that's being healed right now in the thorax right here in the throat area. Your esophagus, you're being healed right now in the wonderful name of Jesus. There's somebody's eyes that are being healed as well. I don't know why I poked you, but amen. Somebody's eyes are being healed right now. See, that's the Holy Ghost, just bearing witness to the idea that what we're preaching is true, and he's trying to show you examples of it right while we're talking with you, that he is real and he's interacting with us. Well, let's interact with him. That's what prayer is. Interaction with God. Jesus said, if I've told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? So notice there are heavenly things just as much as there are earthly things. So the things, the materiality, the realness of both realms exists at the same time. But as you watch Jesus, he always used heaven to combat anything that challenged what was real from God. And the very next verse, verse 13, he that hath ascended is also he that hath descended, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. Notice that verse is the secret to Jesus' success, and it's what we want you to begin to experience. And if you've been following us this long from the beginning, you're already experiencing God in multiple different ways. He that hath ascended is also he that hath descended. That is the Son of Man who is in heaven. Notice what he's saying. I'm in both places at the same time. So while he walked in a physical body, he lived out of heavenly reality, tangibility, and the realness of his Father. That's why Jesus said, I don't do anything unless I see my Father do it. I don't hear it say anything unless I hear my Father say it. He wasn't saying this is something that has just been afforded unto me. This is something that's there for every single one of us to be able to walk out of the heavenly world with a consciousness of God while our physical body walks in this earthly world, which means when your physical body and your mind encounter something that is not accurate to the spiritual connection that you have with the Father, the righteousness of God in you has the ability and dominion and authority to change it. And that's what Jesus did one step after another, whether it was walking with an individual that needed divine healing and they'd say something like, as a leper, I believe you're able to this if you're willing. I know you can, but are you willing? Jesus said, of course I will. Be cleansed. And he would change things by that wonderful nature of righteousness. That's why when John the Baptist baptized Jesus, he said, it is unto all righteousness. I'm going to stop right there and just tell you this cool story about one of the ladies that wrote in. She's got some awesome testimonies. I'll share some of hers in the next few sessions that we have. But this one was so fun. She said they were driving through with the family through a drive-thru and they were ordering everything. And just inside, she thought to herself, man, I would really like one of those turtle ice cream sundaes. But she dismissed it and said, no, it's too expensive. You know, the bill's getting up there, so I'll pass. And you know, we've all done that. You just bite down hard and say, well, that's no big deal. I'll just pass. They pulled up after they ordered, they pulled up to the window, and the first thing one of the girls did is came right up to the window and handed her a turtle ice cream sundae. And she looked and she said, I didn't order this. And the girl said, oh, well, I guess it's our mistake. It's yours if you want it. And she said, yeah, I do. And she took a picture of it and sent it to me, which is so cool to look at this ice cream sundae that she didn't order, that grace just blessed her with. God, by his influence, caused just a thought to be answered. Come on now, unto him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you ask or think. Let's stop right there. God wants to invade your world with the coolest things that happen all the time until you are so confident in your relationship with him, there's no prayer that you won't see answered. You can go to Jim Hockaday Ministry Facebook page and follow us, or go to our YouTube channel, Adventures in Grace, and subscribe. But for sure, send us in your grace stories to jhmi@jimhockaday.com, and you can find that on our website. Man, it's good to be with you guys. I can't wait to see you again. Let's keep going further in this whole area of the unseen.